welcome listeners to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, naturopathic physician, author, and your host for today. Dr. Kamai, the natural nurse, has the day off, and we're really excited to bring you cutting-edge information on issues in health, wellness, and alternative medicine. We have a special guest. We were able to track down our guest today, and very excited to talk about Alexandra Allred's book, A Pioneer in Many Different Ways. She kind of is very interesting. Her bio is really incredible, as she's a bobsledder, one of the first U.S. women bobsled champions. She's an accomplished author. She travels a lot to Washington, D.C. to speak before the U.S. EPA and meet with senators regarding her concerns about toxic waste and policies that allow it to fester and make it worse. And while guns, drugs, and violence are well-considered dangers of the 21st century, Alexandra here, a pollution fighter in the mold of Erin Brockovich, takes the fight to something more deadly, the air we breathe and the water we drink and the land beneath our feet. And she wrote a book called Damaged Goods. We're really excited to have her talk about why she wrote the book, what it's about, and how it trickles down to policy and you as healthcare consumers out there. So, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I understand you're also a black belt, too.
Yes, I am a fourth-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh, yeah. I do Tangsudo, one of the original Korean forms where Taekwondo sprang forth. So we have similar interest in the martial arts and many of the forms that we do. And that's kind of an interesting connection here. But tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in this fascinating field.
Oh, go ahead.
Field.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, Alex, tell about yourself and how you got interested in
this. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello?
Oh, my gosh. I think I've lost connection.
You there? Alex?
Hello, hello.
Okay, well, maybe the engineering staff could contact you and we could put on some music and see if we can get our guests back. You're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. Stand by for this technical difficulties.
Keep talking, Dr. Z.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk a little bit about the book there. So
yeah, we're still on the radio.
So this woman wrote this very fascinating book, and she wants to talk a little bit about how big business is buying the right to make us sick every day and how we can work together to stop it, how we have a moral
Hi.
Responsibility to protect the planet.
Hi, I'm back.
For generations. Hey, are you back?
Yes, I'm sorry. I hope it wasn't my my coverage here.
Okay, well, that's okay. I tried to fill in the listeners as to kind of a little bit about your book. But in your own words, tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book. And also, keep in mind, folks, it's a fiction book. So it kind of, it's like a story that we're covering.
And it is a fiction, and I'll tell you, it's a fiction. I didn't plan it that way, but I finally realized that the only way I was going to be able to really get attention and tell the story was to fictionalize something. We moved to a small cement town, and I did see the cement plants, but we were told that they were in compliance, whatever that means, and it sounded good to us because, quite honestly, I just wanted the horse that I always dreamed of having. And so we moved here and got a beautiful house and beautiful land, and my son became sick. And he was hospitalized 6 times in 2 months, and we were having a really difficult time figuring out what was going on because the rest of us weren't sick. Mm. And, of course, now I know that by virtue of him being a toddler, his lungs were not able to handle what we were all ingesting the way we were. But it wasn't until I went to a children's hospital that a doctor was going through the whole line of, you know, do you smoke? Do you have indoor cats? Has he been exposed to chemicals? No, no, no. And then he looked and said, oh, you live in Midlothian, Texas. Well,
and so you mentioned a cement capital. You're talking about making cement that we use for buildings and roads and things like that, right?
Yes, and you know, I tell people you really don't think about how things are created, but people are shocked to find out that in your cement, and most likely the very building that you're in right now, lead, mercury, arsenic, benzene, which is a cancer-causing agent, that's what's in your cement.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah,
well, that's
we're talking, well, the very cement that builds hospitals and churches and nursery schools and our schools. My son's elementary school was named one of the most toxic elementary schools in the United States. And so now armed with this information, I marched myself up to my local politicians because this has all been a terrible oversight, right? And they could have cared less. And then I tried to go to my state representatives and senators, and again, I was just, I couldn't get anybody in my, you know, for an audience. I couldn't get anyone to listen. And so that's when I hooked up with downwindersatrisk.org and really began to learn what a huge problem it was. And we have rising numbers of children with rare cancers, birth defects, I mean, and then, of course, asthma is just off the charts. And so I started going up to D.C. to try to talk to people. And it's a really sad thing that I could not get my own state senators to listen to me. In fact, it's a family joke, but that's how I wound up meeting Barack Obama, because my state senator refused to see me, but this some senator from Illinois was willing to see me in 2006.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I testified.
And even though you had connections as a Olympic level athlete, they still wouldn't listen to you.
Absolutely. And in fact, if I wanted to talk on just about any other topic, it's been really easy because, you know, I've worked for Sports Illustrated and I've done a number of things. And so, yeah, it's really easy for me to get to most people. And then as soon as I wanted to talk about what was coming out of the cement plants in my town in Texas, I can't get any Texans to talk to me.
Mm.
And it was, again, a real eye-opener. And so I testified, went to Raleigh, North Carolina, to the headquarters of the EPA to testify before them. And I brought pictures, and I had information about other children and just some heartbreaking stories. And the EPA guy actually kind of teared up. And I left thinking, yes, I have made... I've made impact. We've made a difference here. And 2 days later, I read in the paper that the mercury level would still be raised, and so what they could emit out of the cement plants would be almost doubled. We were taking in hazardous waste from 7 other states and Puerto Rico, and they still want to raise the limits. You know,
how do they get away with this? Tell us about the politics of the big companies and how they pay to pollute, and what does that mean?
Well, and there's so many different answers to that. That's a great question. It really is a great question. There's so many different answers. For example, at one point when it was really being identified that we had some what we're calling hot spots in Midlothian, where there's clusters of people with leukemia, instead of putting on more modernized technology called scrubbers to help wipe out some of the pollution, the answer was, well, we need to take a look at what's being burned and emitted. And a lot of things through really clever lobbying, things that were previously considered hazardous material were then taken off the hazardous material list, and they're listed as non-hazardous. So they're still hazardous. I mean, the things that were hazardous waste are now being called non-hazardous, so the numbers don't show the same. Another thing that towns that have really high numbers of illnesses, a study was done, and they included zip codes from surrounding cities, so it diluted the number of kids that we really do have with Downs and Asperger's and asthma and upper respiratory diseases and cancers. And so a lot of it comes down to really what we're allowing lobbyists from the cement industries and the oil industries to get away with. I mean, fracking, for example, I know you're hearing about that all the time. And it's really coming down to what, how much we're allowing our lobbyists to persuade our politicians. And that's really what it boils down to. And
yeah,
so
the fracking,
when I let, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, the fracking thing is, I mean, they're promoting it as that we're going to be more efficient than, you know, the folks in the Arabian Peninsula and as far as extracting oil, but what's the cost? They're not, no one's talking about the costs and what is involved in that whole extraction.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because, unfortunately, until someone gets sick, no one pays attention to that. And in Texas in particular, it really has been profit of human health for a very long time. And it really isn't until the month of October, we had a funeral here in Midlothian for a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. And then a little boy just down the street was rubbing his eye, and his eye popped out. He said his eye was bothering him, and he was rubbing his eye as though it was allergies, and his eye popped out, and he has eye cancer. You know, those families, until it hits them, you know, many of, I've had many people say to me, what's your deal? We need cement. Well, of course we need cement, just like, of course, we need alternative fuels. We need we do need these things, but how we get them is the key. And so it seems to be the other side, if you will, has done a really good job sort of promoting this. Oh, if anybody wants to put on restrictions, then they're anti-cement or they're anti-alternative fuels. Well, that's ridiculous because we all understand we need that. What we're saying is there has to be a better, safer way to get alternative fuels or to make cement without making children sick. And again, it's going to come down to our lobbyists.
So how much, what does the EPA state? What are some of the statistics that they say is coming out of the, I mean, you rattled off certainly some heavy metals, which is really worrisome. And you said benzene too, which I know is very much implicated in leukemia, lymphoma, many other cancers.
And dioxins, and I don't have, the numbers are all, here's
well, is there a good website where people could read about this stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Please, 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 two great resources are downwindersatrisk.org. That's an amazing, amazing organization. And also Earth Justice, earthjustice.org in Washington, D.C., and they're fabulous.
Because, you know, even where I teach, I teach at a naturopathic college. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and, you know, that's a type of medicine. Doctors are trained in holistic medicine from the get-go. And I'm in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is, you know, not really the cleanest city. But nonetheless, there's a big smokestack maybe a mile away. And when I see this downwinders at risk, I wonder what they're... I know they're burning fossil fuel in that smokestack as part of UI, which is... I can't remember what that stands for, but that's the name of the company that supplies power to all of southern Connecticut, pretty much. And we know that not only do people live downwind from these smokestacks, but that the prevailing winds in the United States pretty much go, the fronts go from west to east. So are there any, in downwindersatrisk.org, is it just people in the immediate vicinity that are being exposed to this, or do these pollutants get way up into the stratosphere and get distributed? Do you have any statistics on that or knowledge?
The answer to both questions is yes.
Okay.
Here we tend to say that when you are out of a 20-mile range, you're a little bit safer. But the prevailing winds, we know for a fact how far certain chemicals are carried up in, you know, as you say, up when they get in the, up into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a crapshoot. And then, and you know this through your own medical training, is that we the human body is, we're so strong and yet we're actually so fragile that we're all predisposed to certain things. And so some people in your area may fare perfectly fine, whereas then a toddler or somebody who's just maybe more predisposed to cancerous cells is going to have they're going to be affected far more quickly than maybe, say, you. And it's just, that's the frustrating part, is that we are human beings, and so it is a crapshoot, which is all the more reason why we really need to just tighten the controls on what is hazardous, what's non-hazardous, how much can be emitted into the atmosphere. It's such a no-brainer. That's why I finally realized that it's not, I hate to say it this way, but it's not sexy, it's not appealing to talk about chemicals and what they're doing to children. And so I turned it into this fictionalized account of what's going on and have some outrageous characters, and it's fun, and it really is a funny book. But my whole agenda has always been, but at the end I want people to go, wow, is this really happening? And if we can open up people's eyes to what's going on, we can change how we look at how we're getting alternative fuels and what we're burning and releasing. Because I don't know what's coming out of the cement stack. I mean, the smokestacks near you.
Well, you know, Alexandra, so as naturopathic doctors, we look at it as, okay, we humans are the filter. Until we live in a better world, we better take some self-control, too. Because, you know, while, you know, we have great crusaders like yourself and many people that are working, you know, and trying to get things cleaned up, which is really fabulous. We have to do that. At the same time, we have to give out information all the time. And myself and the natural nurse, who, you know, is the other co-host of the show, we're always talking about what people can do to take, what supplements can they take so that they're not exposed to, so that their DNA is not broken by the excessive levels of arsenic and benzene, and what antioxidants are very important to help the patient's liver, which ultimately is what's going to be filtering these poisons and either neutralizing them or not neutralizing them, which then if they don't get neutralized properly, they then become, they wreak havoc on our DNA and cause DNA breaks, which then, of course, leads to cancer. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time towards the tail end of the show and giving a little bit of a protocol that I would recommend all your townspeople out there in Texas, in your neck of the woods, and really everyone who lives downwind. We're all downwinders. That's the scary part. Is we may think, oh, this show is about a Texas refinery. I don't have to worry about that. Believe me, they're all over the country, especially more concentrated back east here.
Yes, and sadly, I think you're right about that. You guys really get it. You really are downwind any direction you decide to face. And it's so interesting. You know what? I do hope that you personally will be able to visit the downwindersatrisk.org site, because I would love for you to write a paper and help me educate the downwinders here with what you were saying, because it was interesting. My son got rushed to the hospital a couple of months ago for an emergency appendectomy, and it was just a passing comment, but the nurse at the Dallas hospital made a joke, and she said, I'm surprised there's any kid in the DFW area with an appendix, because we have so many appendectomies. And at the time I thought, well, that was interesting, and it really wasn't until just now what you just said to me that I'm wondering, you know, is it that our kids' bodies can only take so much, and that's why we have such a high number of appendectomies? That's crazy. But it makes sense.
Well, maybe we could ask Dr. Null, who's of course our chief of the whole network here, to maybe do some documentary. He may even have one already that's out there on his website. I'm not really sure, but he's of course in charge of Progressive Radio Network and has done fabulous documentaries on many social and health issues of this century. But, we need to clean up. And how I know this is a problem is many times I'll run some type of either a urine or a study of the fat-soluble poisons in somebody, or even I'll send in some nails. You know, when you look at the literature, sending in your nails to the lab is a good way to assess your exposure of heavy metals. So if people have never done that at all, there are specialty labs, even some of the mainstream labs will take your nails and they will they use mass spec and other gas chromatography and other kind of ways to ascertain how much of this exposure are you getting in your body, and then you know, hopefully your holistic practitioner can tell you what to do about it. So that, I'm looking at some of the statistics here, 119,000, this was all just actually out of your town's air in Midlothian, and they had 1,000 pounds of mercury. I mean, that's the most toxic, next to plutonium, that's the most toxic substance on a planet, 1,000 pounds. I mean, that's just mind-blowing, that amount, 119,000 pounds of lead. Lead causes it causes neurological problems. It causes dementia in people. It can cause ADD in kids. I don't know if you know that. It can cause ADD in kids and adults, learning disabilities, cancers, cardiac disease, muscle disease. I mentioned neuromuscular disease. That's just that. And then benzene, of course, is a known, benzene and toluene are known causes of lymphoma and leukemias, amongst many other things, too.
I was just going to say, but what's funny is then the school district here brags that it has a really fabulous special education program. But what people, the disconnect is that we do have a really great special education program here because we have such a high number of special education kids. So you kind of, you know, I keep waiting for someone to make that connection. And this, what you just rattled off, which is coming out of our plants, it's already affecting our kids in a significant way. And earlier you were talking about the cost. There's another cost besides human health, and that is, guess what? That costs the taxpayers a lot of money. When we start having children with Asperger's and autism and cerebral palsy and all kinds of learning disabilities and birth defects, that affects the taxpayers in a way that I always hope maybe I can reach some people that way. But yeah, the cost of the gas and drilling, the fracking, and what we burn is so far more reaching than just physical health.
Absolutely. And you know, we this is like the David and Goliath fight, as we've seen, and we've won that fight in so many cases. When we're going to take a break in another minute or so, when we return, I want you to actually talk a little bit about your book. You know, what's it about, and tell us a little bit about the characters without spoiling it for us all. Okay. All right. Good.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a short break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Be back with our wonderful guest Alexandra Allred and her book Damaged Goods. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
And we're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm glad you can be with us for this very interesting program where we're talking about things that really affect everybody out there. We all breathe. What do they say? We can only last maybe 6 minutes without breathing, and then that's it. And of course, the air we breathe is very critical to our health. We need clean air out there, and we don't think too much when we're going about our day. But keep in mind, our body becomes a filter, and this is the reason why natural doctors throughout the eons have talked about that people need to detoxify, that they need to constantly be aware of what they're eating and eat foods that are high in antioxidants and low in pesticides and things like that, because we need to build up our reserves, because we can't trust the big corporate polluters out there. Even though we try our best to, fight down the establishment and fight down corporations, corporations are finding loopholes to pollute even more by trading pollution dollars from one to the other. And so our guest here, Alexandra Allred, is a Olympiad, and she's a black belt, and she's a concerned mom and an advocate for citizens' rights, and has written a very interesting book. So welcome back.
Oh, thank you. And I was sort of chuckling when what you were saying is you are so absolutely right on the money when you say that they're just big industries just finding other ways to find loopholes to continue what they're doing and then some. And when I first got into the environmental game, I would say to people who were seasoned environmentalists, I would say, well, we'll just go to Washington, D.C., and we'll just tell the senators what's happening, and they would all go, oh, isn't she cute? I was so naive. I love this country. I'm so proud to be an American. I'm so proud of what the things that we have, and we know so much. How can we be so stupid? And so it was just really,
a lot of things are stupid. Medicine's stupid because they're really not. I'll give you an example. Like I mentioned the lead thing, for instance. I was just, while we were off the air doing some public service announcements and things like that for the station, I was researching some of the many conditions that lead causes that would cause somebody to come into a doctor's office. Now, conventionally minded doctors really aren't trained in this toxicology thing, Alexandra.
No, they're
not. So they're not going to be looking for lead as a cause of the hypertension in the patient. They're just going to give a drug that controls the patient's blood pressure. They're not going to be looking at if a guy has muscle aches and pains, which is what causes lead. Lead actually causes paralysis of the extensor muscles so that people can't play the piano and the fiddle, and they come in with all these cramps. Many of our senior citizens who have muscle cramps, although it can be caused by cardiovascular things, may have lead poisoning. I check all my patients for toxicology screening. I run hair, skin, nails, blood, urine, stool on everyone because I want it. People come to see me because I can help them figure out their toxic load and help remove these things from them. This is very important part of naturopathic medicine. So we need to team up by hitting it at the top with helping with the knowledge is power, getting this out there to people of how much poisons are really in the environment and that their everyday aches and pains and maladies and infirmities and things like that are all may be linked to these toxic substances that were just being forced to breathe by these companies. So tell us a little bit about your struggle with these companies. Did you actually go to the cement company and talk to them?
Oh, so many times. And I attended meetings, and I did really and truly, as I said earlier in the hour, I did everything that you're supposed to do. I attended meetings, and then I did petitions, and I wrote letters, and I went to my local and my state politicians, and I did local grassroots organizations, and then I went to national organizations, and I did everything that I could think of. And as you said, because of my U.S. bobsled affiliation, the League of Women Voters had me do a commercial, and so a lot of people kind of tapped into my background, hoping that would lend another voice to this cause. But all these things, none of it ever really mattered because, you know, we're always 10 steps behind the lobbyists in, as you said, finding those loopholes. So it's just really frustrating, and that's really and truly what finally made me realize that this book, Damaged Goods, I decided really the thing to do is humor. And I really make fun of the town and the local politicians and find some out-of-the-box kind of crazy characters, and so it's all a good chuckle, but it's sort of a suspense comedy, if you will, about a group of women trying to take on the cement plants. And in the book, yes, I was talking before the cement plants quite a bit, and so some of the more serious topics in the book are real transcripts from conversations that I had with industry and politicians.
Yeah, I mean, I was funny because I was, when I was reading through some of this stuff, I was thinking of even the Simpsons movie episode with the EPA and how the EPA built a big bubble around Homer Simpson's town. This is when things percolate into common program, radio, TV programs like this and books like yourself. This is, I think, hopefully how it will percolate into people's consciousness. And
well, I hope.
And then hopefully we could then get them in Washington to put further restrictions on. I mean, what actually has to happen then? Say we looked years from now and so many people read your book, you got on Oprah, you made some great connections, we got some stuff done, maybe we got the president to listen and other of the politricksters up there, using a Peter Tosh aphorism. He used to say politics is politricks, but anyway, what has to happen? What types of regulations do these folks have to start following? What change do you wish to see from all this?
For all my interviews that I've done, that's the absolute. No one's asked me that question. That's such a great question. Thank you for asking that, because I think it goes on a couple levels. First of all, you're very familiar with this from your medical standpoint, and that is, first of all, we just have to educate people that what comes out into the atmosphere is important. That are, it's mind-boggling, but so many people don't really get that what we drink and what we eat and what we breathe are crucial to not just us, but even our unborn grandchildren. You know, this is, so number one is education. We've got to make people understand that what you're breathing right now is a really big deal, and that you're not some crazy anti-government freak for wanting tighter restrictions. That's a big thing. That's a huge step right there. And the second thing is, and I keep saying it, but it's true, is we really have to have some sort of watchdog on the lobbyists and how much power they've got over our politicians, because it's ridiculous that small children are being buried in my town, and the solution is to add more zip codes into a study so it doesn't look as bad as it is. What?
That's
insane. And yeah, USA Today special report did a report and released in 2008 that my son's elementary school was one of the most toxic in the country. You would have thought this town would have been upside down with frenzy and worry, but instead it was portrayed as, oh, well, they're just overreacting. You know how those people are. And so it's really hard you can't make change when so many people are truly ignorant on what this all actually means. So those are really the biggest things, and I think that kind of, it's more grassroots. We had Erin Brockovich did come out to my town in 2005.
Wow.
And she came out to my town in 2005 and met with people in my town and took all kinds of information. And about 10 months later, she called me at my house. And what she told me was, if you were anywhere else, Alex, and she named off about 10 different states, and she said, we would have a lawsuit. She said, but you're in Texas. And so I said, well, so what? I mean, this was devastating news. And she said, you just need to get out. I mean, that Erin Brockovich's big advice to me was, I just needed to get out because you can't win here in Texas. And on number one, we are trying to sell our house. But number two, the more I think of it, that's not acceptable really as a citizen of this country, because then what? Well, then, okay, look at those people in Connecticut. What happens when it's in your backyard? Do I just tell you just to move?
Oh, I think Connecticut is maybe even higher on the toxic list than even Texas. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I know it's way up there on the EPA's list.
Yeah, so if we don't start demanding a cleanup, and then, or are we just going to start shuffling people out to different little remote places in the United States because big industry is allowed to just pollute whatever they want to pollute? No, that can't be the answer. So the big thing is we've got to get a way to get to politicians and demand that they stop taking money and advice from big industry and they start listening to the medical industry, the entire medical industry.
Right, because even there's mainstream people that even don't look at this as even an issue in people, or they don't even know how to treat somebody with potential toxic exposure, you know?
Yes. There's a group there, and they're a growing group, and I know you know of them, the Physicians for Social Responsibility.
Oh, sure,
and they're actually really kind of starting to grow because and these are like the mainstream doctors, and a bunch of them are starting to realize there's something to this holistic business, and we really do need to start worrying about what we're ingesting and how it's changing our DNA. Jeepers.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dr. Joe Pizzorno, who was one of the top well-known holistic thinkers in the United States, he did a whole study, and it was presented at the Restorative Medicine Conference that I was one of the keynotes at, on what's called persistent organic pollutants, which he called POPs, P-O-P-s is the acronym, and the effect of these on so many facets of patients' lives, everything from affecting these things being endocrine disruptors. You're familiar with that term?
Yes.
Yeah, these are things that kind of mimic hormones, even though they're not really hormones. We see those, of course, in plastics and in petrochemical derivatives. Even some natural stuff, too, like lavender oil and things like that can still be an issue. So, you know, you just got to be knowledgeable. But Dr. Pizzorno put this all together in a nice format and made a lot of physicians at the conference pretty aware that it's even low concentrations of these things that are, so it's not even that the fact that you said that there's many, many, many tons of mercury being spewed out in your town alone, which is a lot, a little bit of mercury. What do they say? A teaspoon of mercury in a lake is enough to poison a lot of people.
Yes.
But it's even small amounts of these poisons which can then injure people, and if it's not going to overtly poison them, see, that's the problem, is that there's a difference between chronic poisoning, Alexandra, and the acute poisoning, and a lot of people are not getting really the acute symptomology of these things, where they have to be, you know, it's like someone that eats a peanut and they got to be rushed to the hospital right away. It's all these chronic festering conditions that are caused by this stuff that I think are, it's the reason why it's being swept under the rug, because they're saying, oh, well, there's no way you can prove that lead's doing this. Yeah, we see lead in this person's body, even if we send in their fingernails or their blood or their urine or whatever. But how can you prove that this lead came from my cement plant? So I see the lawyers, I see their argument.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Erin Brockovich told me, as she said, is to prove the onus is on you to prove irrefutably that whatever's going on with you, be it, you know, upper respiratory disease or cancer or a tumor, that it's on you. I have to prove that they did
this
to
me. So what we need to do is we need to write a James Bond-like fictional thing of a guy breaking into the cement factory, pouring some type of a tracer into the thing, so that when it goes out in the atmosphere, we can then pick up the trace of this particular molecule. It's like food coloring, you know, we could see where it runs.
And then you
can actually see where it's depositing, and then you can prove causality, and then you'll win your legal case.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I'm just, you know, talking from watching lots of spy movies and things like that.
Well, actually, you just gave me a fabulous idea. You know that Facebook page?
Oh, God, now we're doing industrial espionage.
Well, yeah, you're about to become my cohort here. the Facebook page, Cause, and I was reading the paper this morning that if there's 150,000 signatures for something, that the White House is needs to respond to that. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, if you and your listeners would help me set up a Cause page that would say that they want you and I, the two of us, to be able to go meet Barack Obama, maybe the two of us could help make him listen and persuade him to I was just listening to you, and I was thinking that would be great, because with your medical background and knowledge, and me living where I live, maybe we can make some impact.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem. I mean, this is kind of where we need to go with this problem. Is you need to kind of prove some causality, because mercury is unfortunately so ubiquitous in the environment, and so is lead and benzene. How are you going to know that it's not from, you know, a guy that, I don't know, paints cars for, a hobby and sprays himself with lots of car paint, which does contain benzene and toluene? See, the thing is that we know these things are in people. I know because I do a lot of this testing, but we don't really know, and it's very difficult to prove where it's coming from, unless, again, there's some individual ore or substance that they're using in their plant that's a little different from others' plants, and then you can go back and trace it to, and then see its accumulation in the body. And then if that even occurs, it's still very difficult to prove that it caused cancer. That's the real problem, see. So
I know it.
But I would keep at it, and I encourage people to certainly get the book. And
yes, please.
So
I
tell us a little bit about the book, how it kind of reads. You said it's kind of a fictional thing.
In my, and this is a fun town, besides it being having its own medical issues. It's a fun town, and there really is a woman I know who used to be a stripper, and then she became Mormon. And there's another woman who, there's a character who had her leg chewed off by a tiger because she had a big cat sanctuary. And this is also based on a real person. So these are real people, and they are characters, let me tell you. And the book is, the reviews I've been getting so far is that they thought it was going to be an environmental book, and it was unexpectedly funny, and people are surprised at how much they're laughing at this book. And both the actress Daryl Hannah and Aaron Brockovich are both endorsing this book. So, yay! Nice. But really, it's, again, I just based it off of real people that I know, but took the serious events of what's happening and collided those two worlds. And it does make for a good story. I can say that humbly because I've lived it. But the biggest thing is, I tell people, of course, as an author, you want your book to do well. But for me, my hope is that this is going to be a wildly popular book with great reviews on Amazon, because the more the book gets out there, then the more we're going to start talking about. We're going to start having conversations about what we have been talking about, the environment and how it changes the DNA and how our politicians play a role in our health. And really, I hope that it's going to lend more attention to you and what you do, because honestly, before my son got sick, I really didn't understand how much our bodies take in things and then ingest and can possibly change DNA. I'm hoping this is going to help change the world in a lot of ways. But I will tell you, your audience, that when this all started, there was a lot of people who would just say, well, look, if you don't like it, get out. Well, okay, buy my house for me and I'll leave. But there was one woman, and she kind of rolled her eyes at me, and she said, you know what, there's problems everywhere. About 3 years later, she came running up to me in the grocery store, and she said, not happily, but she said, do you know what benzene is? Okay. And I just sighed and said, yes. And she said, yeah. We're learning a lot about it right now. Her husband, Marcus, had cancer, and then about 2 weeks after I saw her in the grocery store, I saw her again and asked how Marcus was doing, and he died.
Oh, no.
And so that's the biggest thing, is that a lot of these people, they sort of, the light turns on for them at the 12th hour. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping, that we can stop that.
Well, it's our moral responsibility to, like Chief Seattle said, we need to think seven generations down the pike.
Yeah, this
and And if we could think, if we can all come from that perspective, I mean, there's got to be, like you said, there has to be ways. Another thing is to get involved with scientists and folks who can help us figure out ways to make clean cement, clean
yes.
products. You know, of course, clean energy is, of course, a big
and
topic.
We're working on that. We're trying to call it green cement.
Like green cement.
And,
sure, there'd be a big market for that.
That's what we were hoping, because and all it is, you know, someone says, well, what is green cement? Oh, well, green cement is cement that doesn't have hazardous waste in it. You know, it just again,
how does
the
hazardous waste get in the cement? I'm just curious, because I didn't really do enough research before your program to, but that's been a haunting question throughout reading your information that your publicist sent to us and whatever. Is did you ever find out why they put these things in the cement? Is it just a
yes.
way to? Is it? Are they
well,
just? Go ahead.
Cement is, if you do a quick Google search, you'll find that it is. You have to have extreme heat to produce cement.
Mm-hmm.
So you need, if you're a business and you need you need to produce lots and lots and lots of heat, you need the fuel to create that heat, to burn to create that heat, right?
Oh.
And so that costs money. And that's the big thing, is that you have to generate so much heat to produce cement that is one of your biggest costs. And so when we have seven other states who have hazardous waste that have to pay to get this hazardous waste off of their hands, and then you got cement plants out in Texas who really would love to take your hazardous waste. So our cement plants were actually being paid to take the hazardous waste off of the hands of these other states, and so then they were getting free fuel, which was fabulous, because then everybody profited greatly from this.
Oh, I
right?
see. So they were actually burning the hazardous waste to generate the heat.
Correct.
And through the burning process, it's
yes.
not the cement per se, but it's really the burning process of the fuel.
Right.
But
believe me, it all melds together, because in addition to our lead and mercury and arsenic and dioxin and benzene and chromium, we also burn 2 million tires. We also burn cars, smash cars. And then when we demanded a couple years ago a total breakdown of what they're burning, one of the categories was fluff. F-L-U-F-F, fluff. And so we said, well, what is fluff? You know, what is fluff? And so we get these very kind of,
tastes good with peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
Fluffing, no, I'm just joking. We don't eat those types of things on this program, but it was just a funny joke.
But we do. You get these vague answers of, oh, well, it could be the car seats. It could be,
ooh.
You know, just, yeah. So it's anything and everything that they can burn, they burn. And when some of the cement plants are grandfathered in and we're removing things from hazardous waste lists, you see the problem.
Yeah, their fuel goes up, the costs go up, and then big business and big, you know, the parties that support big business, like we just had our election, they're just kind of, you know, money first before people, profits first before people. Right?
Yeah. So when I hear people saying, we need to deregulate EPA, really? You need to come move and live in my neighborhood for a while and then tell me what you think.
Well, we certainly should start a campaign in your neighborhood where, you know, holistic doctors should be giving out antioxidants and liver support and detox support formulas. I mean, there's some nice formulas that are like shakes that people can drink that have glutathione. I don't know if you heard about that. That's a very important antioxidant, glutathione, alpha-lipoic acid, and acetyl-carnitine, milk thistle for the liver. So these are all herbs and natural substances that, and if you look at, Dr. Knowles, one of his encyclopedias, he's written many books on this. You can look up some of these antioxidant support formulas for the liver, like one's called detox support, detoxification factors. I use these a lot, all the time in my office and at the clinic at the university to, again, get people's livers healthy so that they can process what's being thrown at them. Because we just can't stand there and expect the big juggernauts to change quickly. We have to take self-responsibility. Remember, healthcare reform is self-care reform. One of my guests said that, and I said, I'm making a T-shirt out of that.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
Healthcare reform is self-care reform. So, yes, we do have the battle, and we appreciate you slugging it and off and hopefully making it into a kind of a funny satire. Will get us some more leverage to make these changes and make people read it. But at the same time, we can't just be like, you know, lambs to the slaughter, shorn lambs that are being sacrificed. We have to take self-responsibility. We can do that through increasing our antioxidants and eating pesticide-free foods. And it goes on and on, but I'm looking at the clock and we're running out of time. Alex, any last words for the listeners in your book, Damaged Goods?
Yes, two things, and that would be please buy it and review it on Amazon because that'll help give us power. And number two, I would love to take you to Washington, D.C. with me the next time I go because you're the man. You would be great.
Well, let's stay in touch about that, and we could get together with a lot of progressive people from Progressive Radio Network and maybe get a posse down there and make some changes. So take care
of
yourself.
I love it, yeah.
Stay in
touch. You too. Thank you so much.
Okay. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperon, wishing you the best and asking you to stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye.